story. Fill up the pages, sing a little song. Keep me around, keep me with you, right by your nightstand. Keep me around as long as you can.
Hey everyone, we're taking a little break for this holiday week. We'll probably do the same thing in the new year. Thanks so much for listening so far. For our break week, we have a bonus story, Ishel and the Dragonflies, from our Hero Twins episode. So please join me, Maddie, and Tucker on another story. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
There's also an article called Ishel and the Dragonflies, adapted by Carolina Quiroga-Stoltz from the Tres Cuentos Literary Podcast website. I got a story from them.
Are you plugging another podcast?
Well, I don't know if there's still a podcast.
Well, what is it again?
Tres Cuentos Literary Podcast.
Cool.
So
we don't know if they're still existing, but
they probably are. You should go listen to their website. Okay, then also an article from ThoughtCo for Ishel, the Mayan goddess of the moon, fertility, and YucatanToday.com, Mayan goddess Ishel. The last thing I want to talk about is a Mayan goddess.
The goddess is Tiny Burb.
Ishel. So they were the Maya goddess of moon, love, gestation, medicine, and textile arts. So she was the wife of the sun Akin, and was often represented accompanied by a rabbit. In her hieroglyphics, her name appears as Shakshel, meaning large rainbow.
Is the rabbit an allusion to fertility?
Maybe, yeah. That would make sense.
She also has the name like Lady Rainbow or Rainbow Woman.
Lady Rainicorn?
Yeah. And it's said that an all-powerful god named Itzamna, one of the Maya gods who created the world, also married the goddess Ishel and produced 13 children with her.
Oh, and damn, that is rabbit-like.
Of which two also help in the creation of the world.
All right, so once again, two. Not the original twins, not the secondary twins. Not another set of two boys that created the world. But the other aforementioned boys didn't create the world. That's what we already covered.
She also represented the fertility linked to the earth due to the fact that the cycles of the moon are those which determine times of planting and harvest.
Mm-hmm.
She's also associated with rain and the Mayan rain god Chak, which is the story I want to read about her. And interestingly, she has three states of being, like the full moon being like just like her normal, I guess, adult self, right? A waxing moon, as in like mostly full. She's like a young woman. And then a waning moon, she's like a crone. So it's like the triple goddess.
Mm. Just a cycle of life.
Yeah. So she has those different forms, which is interesting.
Was she viewed as constantly dying and being reborn?
No, it's just like she exists in three different states of being.
Simultaneously?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Like the traditional, like, young woman, like the maiden, the mother, the crone, kind of like that in pagan religions, but. Mm.
But all superimposed on one another.
With the moon. Yeah.
Okay.
On her head, she wore a serpent, and on the pattern of her skirt was of the bones and form of a cross, which is really cool. And she's got like a sacred island, Cozumel.
Where Cozumel?
One of the most important temples is dedicated to her.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
That's the places we were talking about going next year.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's cool.
Also, Isla Mujeres is also dedicated to Ishel. So.
Island of the Women.
Yeah.
That was just a reference in AP Bio.
There are lots of stories with her because, you know, she's like the creation of the moon, the world, and all of that. And the moon is really important, so there's tons of moon myths. But this one's got some really juicy gossip in it, and I really liked it. And it's a retelling of Ishel and the Dragonflies.
Okay.
So I wanted to just read this retelling because it's pretty good. And kind of in the way that I read the Kitsune episode, the Kitsune stories in episode two, I wanted to read this one about the dragonflies.
By all means.
Okay. So Long ago, in the land of the wandering jaguar, the sacred deer, the magnificent Quetzal bird.
Quetzal.
Quetzal bird. The ants who conquered and the brave butterflies. Beneath the jade mountain and alongside the turquoise sea, in the land of the Maya people, the moon was said to be the most beautiful of all the heavenly bodies. People would spend hours during clear nights just looking at Ishtel, the moon. But Ishtel, well, she had a busy agenda. She was in charge of watching over the tides of the ocean, steadily guiding waters in and out. No one's timing was more reliable. Large page turn. She would also hold sway over the pulse of life, a woman's fertile cycle, and agriculture. She would guide midwives, healers, and weavers. But her favorite pastime was traversing the cosmic streams, paddling in her canoe, and admiring the stars.
Definitely thought you were going to say controlling werewolves.
Sometimes she would shine boldly. Other times she would partially hide beneath her silken shawl. Another time she would completely wrap herself beneath her silken shawl so nobody would get to see, not even a sliver of her luminous cheek.
Not even a little peeky. And I'm all covered up. No looks for you tonight.
And in the silence.
There's my chin.
She would glide across the Milky Way.
I'm not gliding over here.
This is where it gets good.
It's about to get real good.
In the meantime, the sun was secretly in love with her. He would watch her as much as he could. He would strain his ray lights trying to catch a glimpse of her.
Oh, I got a little bit of your ray right here.
And sometimes she would slightly open her silken shawl so he would get to see her earlobe.
Oh,
and when he was lucky, he would get to see her shoulder.
Oh, you see my shoulder? You're a pervert. Look away.
And the harder he looked at her, the brighter she shone.
I look a little bit harder.
I don't like this voice.
Oh, I know you don't, but it's my voice. I'm the moon. Take a little glimpse.
It's like Little Gideon. That's why I hate it.
Take a little glimpse.
You're doing the Little Gideon voice.
I can make it weird.
From Gravity Falls.
I can make it weird.
And this waiting and watching, this shining and flirting, went on for eons, so the Maya said. In the land of the Maya, there are two seasons, the calm season and the storm season.
Turned on and turned off, baby.
The storms were created by the storm maker, Chak. And Chak, well, he would get really bored during the calm season.
When I get bored, I'll let you look through my silk shawl.
And you know what happens when gods get bored? They tend to stir shit up.
Mm.
And Chak loved to stir shit up. One day, to pass the time, Chak went to the moon's palace while Ishtel was away to pay a visit to her guardian, her grandfather. And so Chak said, "Grandfather, you know I see things everywhere, and just the other day I noticed a glint in the sun's eyes for Ishtel."
I usually go to grandpa's and stir goss. They're the fun. They're receptive to that.
Yeah.
They're not just like fully immersed in Fox News and, you know, up to their eyes in ivermectin and confused about what male is. They want to hear about your lusting for the moon. And its beautiful shawl.
You should visit your grandparents, respect to elders.
They're all dead.
Okay.
I don't have any living grandparents. They're all in the fucking ground. I can say what I want about grandparents.
The grandfather's like, "Well, Chak, I haven't noticed anything different."
My grandpa didn't say that because he's dead.
Well, to me, just me, like, not everyone's talking about this yet, but to me, it seems as though the sun's ray lights are like arrows of desire for Ishtel.
God damn, you're talking about is this his granddaughter in question?
Yeah, the moon.
Yeah, classic.
When Chak left, grandfather could not get that thought out of his mind.
That was the entirety of the conversation?
This was unthinkable. These two could not get together. That's right. Ishtel's domain was of the night, guiding midwives, healers, and weavers, while the sun's domains were of the day and nourishing of crops. If these two were going to come together, do you know what that is? An eclipse! And if eclipse was going to happen, darkness would come upon the earth. No, this could not happen. Meanwhile, Chak was bored to death. This time he decided to pay another visit to another fellow that lived on top of Jade Mountain, Vulture. Well, you know, Mr. Vulture, I hear things everywhere, and just the other day I heard that whoever gets to marry Ishtel would become king of the skies. He's just making shit up.
I mean, all of this, that's what all of this is, making shit up.
Yep. Well, when Chak left, Vulture could not get that thought out of his mind.
I keep thinking you're saying Shaq, and I would rather... You say, that's the Lord of, like, Tempest?
Storm.
Storm, yeah. Tempest, Storm, same thing. Which I do think aligns with the character, the persona, the vibe, the general energy of Shaq. So in the live action version of this, I would like to see Shaq play Shaq.
I thought Shaq, doesn't he own a fast food thing now?
Yeah, baby, he owns Domino's now. Oh, sorry, fuck, sorry, listeners. No, that's it's Papa John's.
Oh yeah, he owns Papa John's.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Shaqaroni pizza, baby.
That's crazy. Okay.
Why is that crazy?
Well, when Shaq left, Vulture could not get that thought out of his mind. In that time, he was not yet eating rotten and dead meat.
Whoa, okay.
That's
Did he have
story.
A full head of hair?
But he was already eating rotten vegetables and well-matured fruits, which not...
Weird detail.
Which didn't, like, exactly make him a high-class bird. Like, he's still eating rotting stuff.
Hold up a minute. What's a high-class bird, Maddie?
One that's closer to the divine.
List off your top three high... I mean, obviously, Quetzal.
Yeah, Quetzal is one.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. Kiwi.
Kiwi
that's a
would
high
be
class
a ground
bird.
Eater.
What the fuck is wrong
but
with you?
But kiwis are really cute.
You know that all of our... 70% of our listeners are from New Zealand.
You don't know
that's
that.
A fact.
You haven't seen the demograph.
Yes, I... All my friends are from New Zealand. Maddie? Jesus Christ.
Nobody can tell you're lying.
Everyone... I'm not lying. Sorry. Sorry, buddy. My wife knows not of what she speaks. Kiwis are high-class birds.
Okay, well, it didn't exactly make him a high-class bird, more of a lower-class one. And then the whole thought of being king of the skies was really enchanting and sparkly to this vulture. So.
So a bald creature wants to be king of the skies?
Well, you're just thinking he's bald. He's just literally the bird.
I'm trying to meander my way into a Jeff Bezos trying to get a space joke, but...
Oh. Okay.
It died.
Vulture was a meek fellow, but quite persistent. After that, every morning before dawn, he flew up to the skies to visit each gel and say, "Jewel of the skies, I couldn't help but notice how radiantly you glowed through the clouds last night." Of course, these visits did not pass unseen to the sun, who grew jealous. Well, the calm season was nearly over, and Shaq again felt the need to pay another visit to Grandfather Moon. Oh, Grandfather, everyone's talking. They're saying that Vulture is going to elope with Ischel before the sun can kidnap her to get married. It's like a big deal. Oh, but I'm sure you're well aware of the situation, right?
I heard Cloud went down on Wave last weekend. There's some family drama right here.
Yeah. And Grandfather's like, "Of course, Shaq, of course, I'm well aware of the situation. I mean, not really, but I'm deliberating, like, what to do. And then Jack's like, "Oh, well, you know I like to brainstorm. And I have been stirring some ideas."
Shaq, stir me up, baby.
And so Shaq went on to tell Grandfather what he'd been plotting. In the end, Grandfather thanked Shaq and encouraged him to be brave on that heroic mission.
Grandfather's son, right?
No. Son. No. The sun is one of the other love interests in the love triangle. So there's the moon, there's sun, and there's Vulture. And then they're just around. And then Shaq is the storm god.
See, it's really throwing me. Once again, it's not your storytelling. It's the nature of these kinds of myths. But we have, like, celestial bodies in play and actual, like, forces of nature. And that's fine. It's a little confusing and hard to reconcile. But then we just get, like, Vulture. Shouldn't, like, Cloud be talking to Wind, be talking to, like, Summer? Sure. Moon be talking to Sun, be talking to Pluto? Sure. But then you throw in Groundhog, and that's where I get really confused.
Vulture.
It's just like, why the fuck is Groundhog talking to Wind? If we're having a conversation among the celestial bodies here.
Vulture is in the skies. He's just around.
Yeah, I guess, and that's what's upsetting.
Both the sun has a crush on the moon,
mm-hmm.
and the vulture has a crush on the moon.
Right, the sun and moon want to make eclipse babies.
Well, moon, we don't know how she feels.
Right. We haven't even gotten her input.
No.
Why are we talking to all these men?
They're talking about her. That's the story. It's gossip story. Can I continue the story?
You sure can.
Great. Okay. So, if the rumors of this love triangle, as in moon, vulture, sun, are true or not, as in both the vulture and the sun are in love with the moon, we don't know, because it happened a long time ago. But what we do know is that both the vulture and the sun moved towards Ischel that dawn, as had been their habit before. So what was special about this day? Shaq, the rain god, was poised upon the sea, ready to release the biggest storm ever seen. First, he sent his clouds to darken the world.
Winds. What about sandstorms? Would those also be his domain?
Second, he sent fierce winds that went everywhere and told everyone it was about time to find shelter. So the winds were warnings to people.
Okay.
Third, Chak sent the thunderclaps, which came with so much violence that they nearly jolted the morning star out of her place in the sky.
Like that? Was that jolting?
No, that was clapping.
It just kind of felt nice, right?
Sure.
Kind of do like a little samba dance.
However, the worst was about to come. Chak had ready his axes. He began to toss the axes against the clouds. When the axes were hitting the clouds...
Does he have a human form?
Humanoid-ish.
Okay.
When the axes hit the clouds, they created lightning bolts.
Saying axes, A-X-E-S, rather than A-X-I-S?
Yes.
Okay.
And these lightning bolts began to strike the earth here and there, and then one of the lightning bolts struck the moon, Ishtel. The moon fell and sank into the waters of the ocean. Fearing for her life, she changed herself into a crab and let herself go and thinking, let herself go.
I yearn to turn into a crab and just let myself go.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Fearing for her life, she changed herself into a crab, let herself go, just continued to think, oh, it's going to be fine, I'm fine. Oh, but she was wrong. She was so wrong. Chak was so blinded by his own rage that the lightning bolts began to pierce the waters of the ocean, striking her. Until finally, Chak grew bored, and then the calm of the storm came back. Ishtel's lifeless body...
He just got bored?
That's right. He's really bored. This whole issue came about because the storm god got bored. And here we have a grave issue. Ishtel's lifeless body was found floating in the waters of the ocean next to her canoe.
Was she not in crab form, though? She went down as moon, came up as crab, scurried about.
No, she's dead.
Now, but is she dead as a crab?
It doesn't say. It just says her body.
I want to know your professional interpretation.
I think that she turned into a crab to hide, and then it didn't work, and then when she was died, she reverted back to her moon form.
And is moon form the actual planet?
I think it's like a goddess-looking form, because remember, she looks like either a woman or a crone or a...
Right.
Yeah, so it's probably goddess form. Ishtel's lifeless body was found floating in the waters of the ocean next to her canoe. To rescue the pieces of her lifeless body, 400 dragonflies came crossing the ocean, the mountains, the forest. They picked up all her pieces and gently placed her in her canoe. Then the 400 dragonflies lifted her canoe and brought it back to the moon's palace, where her and her grandfather live.
Is that in a celestial location or somewhere physical on Earth?
Celestial.
Hmm.
Grandfather. Mi niña, mi niña. Oh, grandfather could not help but blame himself for what had happened to his granddaughter. If only he hadn't listened to Shaq. For 13 days and 13 nights, grandfather grieved.
If I had a nickel for every time I've said, if only I hadn't listened to Shaq.
Jack. The 400 dragonflies covered each shell in her canoe for that whole entire time, as if her canoe was her coffin, and they all hummed, hummed, hummed. On the 13th night, grandfather asked the dragonflies if they could take her to the cenotes. Cenotes?
Cenote.
Cenotes.
Cenote, that's the sinkhole.
Yes. The entrances of the underworld, Shibalba.
Hey!
You're right. Because it is about time to say goodbye. At that moment, the 400 dragonflies elevated themselves into the air. To grandfather's surprise, Ishtel rose up to full life. All those days and nights the dragonflies had been humming, they were not grieving for her or giving her a farewell. They were filling her up with their life force.
Okay.
Ishtel rose up and resumed her place into the sky as the moon goddess of the Maya. As for what happened to Chak and the vulture, those are two different stories. But the Quiche Maya tell the story, have a saying, I guess. Do not underestimate the power of a dragonfly. One is steady, fast, and strong, but 400, you can make miracles.
Hmm.
So, that's interesting. I believe this is, like, translated from some either Spanish or Maya, because it reads a little bit like a translation.
It must be from, I mean, not must be, but I'm assuming from Spanish, considering they said Niña.
Niña, yeah.
Interesting.
So that's the story that I wanted to tell because it's cute and fun.
It was. That was great. Yeah. I derived joy from that story.